Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello again there, friends. It's Harry for the Lotus Eaters, where it is the middle of the day, coming up to 1:30 for the meeting of the Restore canvassers. Most of the personnel are here. We've been having a word with them inside. Middle of the day is prime territory for canvassing. This is where they're going to do their big push for today. This is Tuesday, the 9th. Of June, and I'm excited to see what goes on, see one of these slightly bigger canvassing runs. We've been speaking to everybody. Like yesterday, the mood is very positive. Everybody's really enthusiastic about what they're doing. Spoke to some people, everybody yesterday again, very enthusiastic, saying they were getting very positive responses from Restore. What I was told in there was an estimate of the kinds of responses that they've been getting on the doors was about 30 to 35% reform, 20 to 25% restore, try not to get run over here, and about 25 to 30% labor. Now, that is off the top of the head calculations and estimates. So given the off the top of the head estimates that I was getting, it sounds like it really is a 3-day split with everything to play for over the next week and a half as we're leading up to polling day. So these next few days are going to be critical for the canvassers to try and turn people around. As well, we are hopefully going to get to meet Rebecca, the Restore candidate today, Rebecca Shepherd. So I'm really looking forward to hearing what she has to say. And we might even be able to get to speak to some of the members of the public today as well. So I'm excited to hear what they think of this by-election and who they're supporting. Anyway, we'll carry on and we'll let you know how it goes. Caleb Taylor. Well, Caleb, very nice speaking to you. So are you a local of Wigan?
Yeah.
Yes. And we approached you and you said that you're not too familiar with what's going on with the by-election, but you have seen some of the stuff going on with Andy Burnham. You said you've seen some of the footage of him. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, just from a local's perspective, somebody who's not that tuned into what's going on, what's your impression of him from that? What's your impression of what's going on? I'm sure you've probably heard that there is the election going on and seen it in the newspapers. What's just your general impressions as a local?
It's okay. It seems to be all right. You know, it seems to be wanting to make change of Makerfield, Plattbridge, a few other areas. I don't know specifically the areas, but I know Plattbridge and Makerfield are the two big ones that he wants to make changes on.
Yeah, so he's been mayor of Greater Manchester since about 2017. So obviously that's Manchester itself and all the surrounding areas, including Wigan. How would you say that the area has changed since 2017? Has it changed, stayed the same, improved, got worse? Can you give us some general impression?
Of what, Wigan itself?
Yes.
I mean, they seem to be making, seems to be wanting to make big changes. You know, King Street's turning into a health bar and a fitness place. That seems all right. You know, obviously, it's not the best for drinking, but hopefully there's got to be some nice big changes to Wigan.
All right, then. And have you, obviously, Andy Burnham's associated with Labour. Have you seen anything from any of the other parties? Have you been approached by canvassers from any of the other parties at all?
No, not personally, no.
Well, that's all right, then. Well, thank you very much for your time. We've decided to come over to Wigan Town Centre and take a look around now. Only parts of Wigan are part of the constituency of Makerfield, mainly the southern portions of it. But Wigan itself is still under the mayoral governance of Andy Burnham. So we thought we'd come around, check out what the place is like, see if we can speak to some of the people on the street who might be able to tell us what they think of Andy Burnham, what they think of the by-election. And also, it's just interesting to take a look around because Wigan Town Centre, from the brief look that we've had of it, is very much indicative of modern Britain that we all live in today. If you've been to one town centre across the country, then the likelihood is you know what to expect from Wigan. There's a mix of old and new, old, beautifully built architecture and municipal buildings, newer grey blocks, as opposed to a lot of the outskirts of the town, which felt very English. Nice to meet you, Bradley. So first of all, obviously this whole by-election's been started off by the local Makerfield MP, Josh Simons, stepping aside, stepping away from his position to make room for Andy Burnham in the first place. What do you think about that and the kind of attention it's brought on the local area and in the press?
I'm not really too sure, you know, mate. I mean, I'm not really big on politics, if I'm honest. I mean, I don't really take any interest, if I'm being really honest. But
well, have you seen anybody about the local area, canvassers for parties like Labour, Reform, Restore?
I've seen Reform about. I mean, I haven't really seen much Labour, really. But,
Have you got any impressions about them? Obviously, there was the big controversy with Reform's candidate, Robert Kenyon, and some of the comments he'd made regarding Carol Vorderman. Have you seen anything like that?
No, I can't say I have, mate.
All right. Well, no, that's all right. Do you think you'll be voting?
Yeah, I'll be voting for... my mum and dad are voting for Reform, so I would assume I'd just vote for them. Like,
oh, well, have they given you any idea of why they're voting for Reform?
Just based on the fact that... I don't really know, really. You know, I haven't really asked the question, but, you know, I've just... I've just sort of like made my own assumption. I haven't really done any research into it, like, but that's all, really. That's all.
Well, that's all right. Well, thank you very much for your time. You take care and have a good day. So far, we've been asking around to see if anybody wanted to speak about the local by-election. And of course, accounting for people who are in the local area who aren't constituents in Makerfield. So far, the responses haven't been very positive. A lot of people just haven't been interested in talking about it. It seems the feeling that we're getting is that I would imagine the local area constituents and the town centre have been a bit swamped with people asking what their feelings are recently. So a lot of people are a bit fed up, a little bit bored of it, which is understandable. But, you know, this is a big election. The media are pushing it as a big election. But it's just interesting taking a look around. Like I said in the last discussion I had a few minutes ago, Wigan really is one of those kinds of places where it's got history to it. You can sense it in the architecture, but it's fallen into a bit of a state of disrepair where a lot of places are identikit, local big brands. You can see here at this crossroads, we've got Subway, Opticians, random foreign-owned brands and such. And when we were speaking at the Restore meeting, we were reminded by a friend of the channel who was there that... Of course, Andy Burnham is mayor of Greater Manchester. Wigan falls under Greater Manchester. He reminded us of some of the failures within Andy Burnham's time as mayor, including the scrapped £100 million ULEZ scheme. Now, I lived near Manchester for a long time, and I remember when that was supposed to be going in. And it is one of those things where everybody was unhappy about it. I remember everybody in Manchester, everybody outside of Manchester were very unhappy about it. And you can still see that when you read some of the reports from focus group testing that people were being asked about Andy Burnham, what they liked about him, what they didn't like about him. Everybody agreed that £100 million down the drain for the sake of a scrapped ULEZ zone was one of, if not the biggest things that people were not happy about, because they considered it to just be another tax for just trying to get into Manchester if you're a driver. Labour, in many ways, or at least the part that Burnham represents, seem to be a very anti-car, pro-green, pro-2030 net zero kind of party. And if he were to get in, and what people were worrying about, that being if he gets into prime minister position from there, is slightly worrying that he would ally himself with the Ed Miliband's and the net zero types who would want to completely destroy the energy grid and completely destroy any sort of cheap energy that Britain is able to produce for itself, and punish the population with taxes and extra things like the ULEZ zones. So that is interesting. But just for now, it seems that we've not had that much luck. So we'll see how we get on as we carry on. Thank you very much. What's your names?
I'm Natasha.
Natasha
and Anna.
Very nice to meet both of you. So obviously there's been the local by-election called because Josh Simons has decided to step down from his position in Makerfield. What do you think of his decision to do that and all of the press it's generated around the local area?
I have some concerns about who's in place in that seat would then impact kind of our roles as artists, whether the funding models would be the same, what gets funded, what doesn't, might change, you know. We feel like heritage would still be a priority, but...
And I think with the change in, obviously, Andy's kind of like putting his hat into the ring, isn't he, to become leader of the party, of the leader of the Labour Party. And I think that there probably was a particular moment at that time when obviously the local elections hadn't really gone very well for Labour. So I think though it's destabilising somewhat for like Greater Manchester potentially and for like Wigan on the one hand, also like you have to sometimes strike politics moves. So the fact that that vacancy has been made by Josh is not necessarily a bad thing. It could actually be something really positive. And I think that it's been interesting to see people having these conversations now. And actually, I think a lot of things like, say, for example, reform policy has been quite exposed during this by-election more than it perhaps was during the council elections.
In what way do you mean?
I think that, for example, the things that have come out about Rob Kenyon, and I think the fact that like Nigel Farage's like crypto money and stuff like that has been a lot more on the agenda and has spoken a lot more than it was in the local elections has actually been quite interesting to see. I think potentially some form of a tidal shift against reform, which I think is positive from my perspective, from somebody who's in the culture and the arts and wants an inclusive environment to live in Wigan.
I don't like how it's divided us even more, because... I think the only way forward is unity. And as a community, Wigan is more divided than it's ever been. And that shows in...
How so divided?
I think that there are people who are very willing to embrace everyone around them and get on with being kind of neighbours without necessarily having to agree. And then there are people who... are kind of, you know, putting their foot in the ground and on the, you know, and saying, no, that's not what we want. So I think there's that kind of division.
Whenever there's a kind of like, kind of like a political moment like this, then obviously like divisions become like more on the surface. But I do think there has been some form of a tidal shift just recently. I think that there has been sort of like slightly more, I feel like on social media as well, there's been a little bit more conversation around kind of like what reform is actually about, and perhaps that doesn't represent what Wigan really is.
So this is something we've seen from some people saying that even some women who we've been told by other canvassers for some of the other parties, including like the Greens and Restore, for instance, saying that reform voters who were women who were thinking of voting for Restore had been put off by the comments of Robert Kenyon that had been coming out. Is that something that you've noticed amongst other women and other people that you interact with, that it's been really off-putting?
I have noticed that quite, well, I mean, like the women that like, you know, like I kind of like speak to, like would probably find that kind of policy, the general policies from reform to like not be very appealing. But I think there has been a real sense that like, that's probably not somebody that people would trust with their vote when they've got like daughters and mothers at home, and they don't really want people who kind of like outwardly say they're a sexist, even if they only said it like 2 years ago, or they only said it however long he claims he didn't say it. But yeah, I think that there has been a sense of like that isn't really what Wigan stands for, and I don't think
that's definitely true.
So last question regarding Andy Burnham. Obviously, he's been mayor of Greater Manchester, which includes Wigan, for what, 9 years now, since about 2017, was it? In that time, how would you say that Wigan and Greater Manchester has changed? Has it improved? Is there anything that you'd like to see done differently? Any concerns regarding Burnham? Anything that you're hoping for? Obviously, you said you're artists, so anything specific there would be great as well.
Do you want to speak first?
There's been a lot of changes on a kind of small scale level to people's lives, like the £2 bus tickets and things like that. They just make everything a bit more equitable, a bit more accessible, so we can get around the whole borough, access art venues, and it makes working in the arts a little bit easier. It makes it easier to go and support other people. That's been a really massive thing, I think.
And the Greater Manchester Combined Authority supports a lot of arts organisations and cultural groups and community groups, grassroots organisations that are helping people. So, for example, I work with an organisation that helps people who are socially isolated. That might be through dementia or it might be through care responsibilities. It's a real broad range, but that group has been funded for a few years to allow them to kind of create and to meet each other and to make friends and have better health outcomes. And that's been like a Greater Manchester funded event thing.
Yeah. And Greater Manchester Arts is just doing great work at the minute and really like listening to people on the ground level, you know, what is needed, what infrastructure is missing to really help artists thrive.
All right. Well, thank you both very, very much for your time. I hope you have a good day. It just looks lovely. You know, there's history there. Things have happened there. People have lived there. It was built for a purpose beyond just making money. What is this? Wigan Hall. I mean, that's just beautiful. That's gorgeous. So even in the modern UK, you still get little gems of old England dotted around the place. And it just reminds you what it is that we're doing all of this for. Looks like we've got a convert. Yeah. So, do you mind what won him over then?
He was very concerned about housing in the local area and specifically that it's going to people who are non-locals. He's seen crime rise and a simple display of our policies and he was on board.
And you said he was 19 years old as well, so the youth are on board.
Oh, yeah, big time. Especially we've seen it around here a lot with the youth. Yeah, completely on board. Great fervour.
Well, good work then, mate.
Thanks.
So tragically, we didn't manage to get any of it on camera because it went a little bit too quick, but we did just encounter a group of young men who were coming around from the church, getting away from what they were describing as a bunch of crackheads. We did double check, and it does appear that there are a few in the churchyard, sadly. And we asked them if they'd be interested in talking about the local by-election because they were all locals. And the thing that they had to say was that, one, they were voting Reform, and two, that they wanted to let everybody know, F Labour, we hate Andy Burnham. I'm paraphrasing there, but that's basically what we got from them. So that's an interesting perspective of some of the younger lads around town. Hello, could you introduce yourself, please?
Yes, so Ed Gemmell, I'm the leader of the Climate Party nationally, and I'm standing as a candidate in the Makerfield by-election.
Fantastic. What are the Climate Party about?
We're a single issue party, well, dual issue, so climate and nature. But we're very much focused. The way we're looking at climate is it's the biggest opportunity on the planet. It's a fantastic commercial opportunity. Britain should be doing it harder, faster and better than anybody else so that we make money out of it. And it's made in Britain and not made in China.
And which climate policies are these that we can make money from?
I think the first thing is just it's a general economic policy. At the moment, in terms of economies around the world, the clean energy and the clean industries are growing at something like 15% a year for the last decade, London Stock Exchange figures, which is almost the same as AI and deep tech. They're growing at almost the same speed. Together, they're going to be about a quarter of the entire world economy, 25% roughly in 2030. We need to be at the front of doing all this stuff. And the way we do that, we bring forward our net zero target to 2030 or something very soon after. We invest and innovate our way there rather than the idea of degrowth, which is very much sort of Green Party idea, or this idea of Reform, Restore and the Conservatives, which is dump the net zero targets because they are saying they are deindustrializing the UK, which is an absolute total and utter lie. What's happened is in the 50 or so years up to 2008, which is when the Climate Change Act came in, manufacturing as a percentage of our economy dropped off by 25 to 30%. Since the Climate Change Act came in, manufacturing has only dropped off just under 1%, but at the same time, Britain's net zero economy has been growing at 10% a year. So CBI figures. So at the moment, net zero is what is stopping us from deindustrializing, and it's starting to have an uptick for us as well.
Well, many people would show some skepticism at the idea that net zero climate policies would be able to take over the energy infrastructure and provide clean and cheap energy for people, which is why they say we need to go back into the North Sea oils and fracking and fossil fuels as well. What would you say to alleviate people's fears that by going for a net zero clean energy policy, that we wouldn't be further indebting ourselves?
Before we say that, though, let's just say that net zero is not only energy. You know, net zero is everything. So transport, buildings, infrastructure, finance, all of it. So let's talk about that as a general thing. But focusing purely on energy. Right now in the UK, the first thing we should be doing, which we have ignored for 30 years, is tidal power. We're surrounded by 7,000 miles of coastline. We have the largest tidal power resource in the world. If we were doing it at full scale, we'd have up to 20 gigawatts. To explain in the where we are at the moment, we're using about 30 gigawatts of power at the moment in electricity. At peak, it could be doing 60 to 70% of our power needs, and there's a base load. A, we should be doing that. B, when we look at fossil fuels in the North Sea at the moment, the most ridiculous thing we should be doing is doubling down on doing more fossil fuels in the North Sea. A, we have a tax regime which gives back all of the money that is invested in setting up a new oil rig in the North Sea. We give that back in tax rebates. So we, the taxpayer, pay for BP and Shell to make the money. B, when they clean up at the end, we get a full tax rebate for everything when they clean up. So we, the taxpayer, again, pay for everything for Shell and BP. And while they're doing it, we give 50 up to 60% tax rebates on certain aspects of it. Then, if they make any money, 80% of their shareholders are abroad and all the money goes abroad. So again, Britain loses out. It's absolutely ridiculous. But in addition to that, by doubling down on the old stuff of the past, we don't do the stuff of the future. And right now, there is an opportunity to grow the British economy probably by about a trillion by getting ahead of the game of everybody else over the next 20 years. That's £20 billion a week. Think of the 350 million on a battle bus in the EU Brexit debate. That's £20 billion a week we could be putting on the British economy. It would change all of our lives. We'd fill the potholes. We'd have our defence ramped up. We would be building everything we need. The health service would have enough money. If people are worried about immigration, we would have the right border controls doing whatever we as the public want to do. But it would be in place. Whereas at the moment, there is nothing in place. We don't have the money. We have to steal from Peter to pay Paul. It doesn't work.
So these kinds of policies for people who would be thinking of voting for Restore or for Reform, some of the more harder line immigration parties, you're saying that these kinds of policies that you're putting forward will actually shore up our ability to protect our borders and have a greater democratic control over immigration and other national security issues?
We can't have democratic control without money, because whatever Restore and Reform want to do at the moment is going to cost money, and we have a declining economy. So at the moment, if we take their more extreme policies and we invest time in it, and it's not saying I agree with these policies, by the way, it's just about the cost of them. If we actually do that, it's going to cost us money. And that means cancelling 10,000 NHS appointments, cancelling a load of operations, stop giving money for social services and children's services to councils, because we now have to pay for this. We don't have the money. So since 2008, our economy has bubbled on at under 1.1% GDP growth. And in productivity growth, which is the real thing you need, either productivity per head, in other words, amount of money we make per head or amount of money we make per hour, we've been declining. So we don't have the money to do it. And it is nuts for them to propose it at the same time as suggesting we're going to throw more money away in the North Sea, which is the worst thing we can be doing. Right now, renewables are wildly cheaper. The only reason we're not doubling down on our renewables well enough at the moment is because through a scheme called Contracts for Difference, at the moment, the government's making a big upside out of the renewables because it's going above the Contracts for Difference price, and we as a country are making money. So we aren't, at the moment, doing enough, and the government's making good money out of it.
And what would you do for local concerns of people within the Makerfield constituency and area?
Fine. First thing is, I'm not kidding anybody in Makerfield that we're trying to stand because I'm going to get elected. I'm not. We're standing to put climate onto the agenda. But being specific about Makerfield, Makerfield has a fabulous industrial heritage. You know, it's a coal mining town, it has steel, it has hinge making, or it had, and it needs to have a fabulous industrial future. And the way to have an industrial future is to do what everybody else wants. And at the moment, the two biggest growth areas in the world are net zero and sustainability, AI and tech. And if we want the jobs in Makerfield, those are the areas we should be concentrating in. And where we can get ahead is in the sustainability and net zero ones. We are in a position where Britain could lead. And if it did, then industrial heartlands like Makerfield would see a growth of industry again, and the jobs and the money would come.
Well, any final message you'd like to give to constituents and viewers?
We're not out there to get the votes from people. We're not going to win. What we're out there is saying, you have got to talk to Andy Burnham and the Reform candidate and any other candidate thinks they should have your vote and say, what are you doing about climate? We just had the hottest temperatures in May by 2 degrees only a week ago. We smashed the temperatures. We're going to have hot temperatures this summer and we're going to smash the records again next year if we don't do it this year. That's number one. And then you've got to say to them, what are you guys doing to grow the economy? Where's your vision? How are you going to lead the country? Because none of them have a vision on where to go. And the most obvious thing we should be doing is doubling down where the world's making money and none of them are on top of it. So please, to the constituents, to the voters, point at these guys and say to them, I want to hear, what about your industrial vision and what about dealing with climate change?
Well, thank you very much for your time, Ed. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. Interesting perspective on these that I've not heard before. Well,
it's a pleasure.
You take care. So we were actually just on the way back to the meeting point from Wigan Town Centre after we'd done some Vox Pops. And on the way back, we passed by on the corner a group of miscreants canvassing for the Restore Party. So I thought we'd stop by, see how they're all doing and get an update to how things have been going in the middle of the day. Eh? So come on, let's go find out.
I'm James.
Nice to meet you, James. So you've been organising this local group canvassing. We ran into you on the way back. Just for an update, midday canvass, how would you say things have gone when you've been keeping track of everything?
Around this area, it's been rather supportive. It depends where you go. I say this area, around these streets, just behind us here, very supportive. Lots of yeses. Obviously, lots of noes as well, but it's been a... For areas I've done this compared to this morning, it was much more successful.
What kind of people are you finding are supportive of the party?
More working class. I describe it. So if you go to a block of terraced houses, we're more likely to get yeses out of terraced houses than four-bed detached houses. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Have you had any stories from anybody today? Any interesting discussions they've had? Any flips from people?
Not in this shift, but yeah, you always come out with one or two from every session. I've not heard of one. I think this has been the only one, actually, where I've not had an odd story. Do you want to hear any of the stories?
Go for it.
We had one guy I spoke to about a week and a half ago said he's voting for Andy Burnham because he worked with him and he knows him, though he supports, he prefers reform and us. Voted for reform in the last election, voted for reform in the local election, but wants to vote for Burnham because he's mate, which I don't really understand. Surely you should vote for somebody, the party you prefer or the party you are most aligned with. You know, you think's going to further the best of the country faster. He said he's just your mate. I've had a fair few people say they voted for Andy Burnham over different groups as well, just because they know him.
Just one last thing then, which is that obviously there's been lots of mainstream polls coming out in the national press about reform versus Labour versus Restore. How reflective of reality in your experience would you say those have been?
The ones from the mainstream media where we're on, 7%?
That seems to be the number.
Absolutely not the case. Even in the most areas where I've had the least amount of yeses and considerings, we've still been done better than 7%. So,
estimate you could give for it?
As a guesstimate for over the constituency, it's hard because I've not done every part of it. 15 to 25, somewhere in between that.
Do you reckon you can make up that difference in the next week and a half? Or
it's possible. Most answers that you get on the doors are not available. No, nobody's answers. Obviously, people are at work, people go out for the weekend. It was summer holiday about a week and a half, last week, I think, or the week before. So obviously a lot of people are out, so there's still houses that haven't been done. No one's been spoken to once. It's just the nature of the game, really. You just pull a bad day. So probably, yeah, I think so.
Right, well, thank you very much for your time. Take care. So, end of day, the midday canvas has gone. General feelings seem to be positive. I'm told that where they were canvassing today was a Labour stronghold, and yet they still managed to get quite a few positive responses on the door and even flipped a few people in those areas that they would have expected to turn out in strength for Andy Burnham. So that seems to be positive signs for the Restore lads. As it goes, visiting Wigan Town Centre, going on the ground and seeing what people felt. Now, bearing in mind, this was mid-afternoon on a Tuesday, the week before the by-election, but feelings that I was getting from a lot of people were apathy, confusion. They did not seem, in the middle of the town centre, which bear in mind, again, is not in the constituency, but may have had some constituents passing through. They seemed less informed, less interested than the people that they were meeting on the door. Had quite a few people ask us what a by-election actually is, although those who did speak to us showed a variety of responses, some of which I'm sure you'll have seen in the compilation from the interviews. It was also very interesting and nice to speak to Ed from the Climate Party, who I'd never heard of before, but he was very interesting to speak to. But that's it so far for my time in Makerfield. My watch is over, and tomorrow you'll get Luca showing you around and giving you all of the updates that you want to hear on what's developing. So till then, take care.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.